All right. Welcome back to the podcast. Today I have with me Melissa. Melissa, thank you for taking some time out of your day and joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. We were talking about a little bit before this, but you went on a trip to New York recently.
Yes, I did.
What was, or how was New York?
It was really cool. I went to New York City for like about a day and a half. It was really, really different. Just being so close to like so many people, very fast paced world.
The city that never sleeps.
And I'd learned definitely like going to the bathroom and being able to pee is definitely a privilege, not a right. Like there are so many places that don't have bathrooms and like.
Well, you have to pay. You have to like actually be a customer.
Customer, but even if you are, sometimes they don't even have them, you know. But it was really, really fun. Super hot, but amazing food. That's my favorite part, of course. And then I got to go to Montauk, which is like a very. It's like past the Hamptons, and it was very like naturey, very scenic with the beach. So I kind of had the balance of both, but it was very, very short. But I will be back. But
was that your first time?
It was my first time. Yes. Okay. It was really cool.
Yeah. I've been in New York a few times with family, and then my sister goes to college up there. So I visited a few times, and I remember my first time going, and people just did not care about streetlights. Yeah. They just walk in front of cars. They're anticipating the stoplights, and I was just like, I was just so used to like waiting and making sure every car stopped, and everyone's just minding their own business and going on with their lives.
They're doing what they need to do. I was like, okay, if I'm trying to get around here, I need to act like I'm a local, and I'm just going to walk. And cars are honking behind me, and I'm like, oh, I don't give a fuck. It's fine. But I could not live there, I would say. It's too,
It's like pretty, fast paced for me.
Very, like, no fucks given, that's for sure.
Exactly. And I'm like, ah. Also, I don't know if you noticed this, but when I first went to New York, I think I was in high school. And in high school, I didn't really, like, I think I dressed up with, like, school attire all the time. And then I went to New York, and everyone had, their, like, everyday clothes were, like, pretty nice for me.
Yes. I had to make sure I had my fits ready for New York. But yeah, it was a great experience.
Yeah. And did you stay in like a hotel?
Yeah, I stayed in a hotel in Manhattan and then kind of like an Airbnb in Montauk. So it was really nice.
What was the size like? Was it a lot smaller?
It was actually not that bad. I was staying with my sisters and one of their husbands, but it was pretty nice. You know, nothing, I can't complain. Yeah, it was a great time.
That's good. So I guess we're jumping into things now. Okay. You're about to graduate.
Yes, I am.
Before we talk about graduation, let's bring it back to like incoming freshman year.
Okay. Melissa. Yes.
So first, when you came to, did you know you wanted to come to A&M?
I didn't, and I've never toured A&M, but, it was like the college that gave me like the most financial funding and scholarships. So I was like, you know what? Especially with, like, my upbringing and my family, I was like, you know, that's the smartest choice that I'm going to make, so let's go ahead and do that. Went to fish camp. That was my first,
Aggie tradition.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, my God, what is this place? But absolutely loved it. And I would say from, like, high school me to college me, especially during that freshman year, I was very, like, shy. I mean, I still am, but very, at fish camp, it was, I remember at the point where I was, like, at a mixer, because I don't dance, I don't like to be free and loose, and, because I'm always like, oh my God, what's everybody gonna think about me? But then I was like, wait, I'm, like, in a new place, I know no one here, no one knows me, I can be who I want to be. So, yeah, I went ham on that dance floor. But, yeah, like, it was the best choice I obviously could have made, I feel like. I absolutely love A&M and just everything. You know, we can go on for hours about the organizations and the people, traditions and whatnot, but
Did you come in with like any friends from high school or
I knew a few friends from high school, but it's not like we were really close. And I wasn't really into the scene like, I'm gonna stay in touch with these friends. I wasn't really friends with them in the first place. I was like, this is a new start for me to kind of have my own path here. So
It's kind of similar to me. When I came to A&M, I didn't really have a lot of like friends from high school that even came here. And even the ones that did, I wasn't terribly close with them. But I didn't even go to fish camp, so, like, I had to start. Like, I met people, like, I was in Hullabaloo, and I would walk around the halls, and I'd see people with, like, paper in front of their door saying, we want to meet people. Like, our door, their doors cracked open. Yeah. And, like, literally, that's how I met people.
And you went in them doors and you were like, hey, I'm Victor.
I literally, yeah. And that's how it started. But, like, going in without friends and going without anyone is kind of scary.
It is.
Because, like, no one's telling you what to do. Or, like, I feel like, I don't know, you can make a lot of mistakes and it's just way easier if someone's already made those mistakes and can just tell you about it.
And I feel like you've probably done really well because you are very, you know, you can put yourself in those situations and you're like, hey, I'm Victor, and, you know, I see your ass everywhere. So it's like, you definitely make that move. But for me, that's really hard. I would never be like, hi.
Like walk into a random.
No, I would never do that. Or just like put myself in those situations. So what really helped me was like joining organizations. Because it was like, oh, I have a reason to be here. You know, I want to be here. I couldn't just be like, go up to anybody and be like, hey, can I sit here and eat with you or something like that. But definitely all the organizations here have definitely made me grow and learn a lot about myself, which I really do appreciate.
Yeah.
Has helped me.
You said that you were, you're still introverted. But if you had to, like, put a number to it, like a 50-50 or whatever.
So I love personality tests and, like, things like that. So I've taken my Myers-Briggs, like, pretty recently from freshman year and whatnot.
Changed. Oh, okay.
Oh, what?
I'm going to guess your Myers-Briggs.
Okay, guess it.
INFP.
Yes, that is correct.
Oh, shoot.
I used to be an I, an S. Wait, no, it's ISFP. But now I'm an INFP. Mm. But not too much on that. But, like, I am, like, in the middle between, like, 48 and 52. You know, like, I've definitely grown to kind of be in those situations. It kind of depends. I'm very easier on one-on-one situations. So I can really, like, dive into the other person. But if it's, like, a group setting, I get kind of more shy. I can't really insert myself anywhere. Because I'm more of, I'm a very observant person. And I don't want to, like, over, you know,
Pass
the show. And I would not like to be the center of the party, that's for sure.
I think for me, like, I am fine being the center of attention if it's, like, dancing or something. Like, I don't have to, like, but if it's with other people and, like, in conversation, I feel like if I was in a group, there's just so many people in my mind that I have to, like, attend to and make sure that they all are contributing equally and no one's feeling left out. And that's just exhausting. Like, I'd rather just have a one-on-one conversation with someone and just kind of, if I have to, I'll guide it. But, like, I'd just rather have one-on-ones.
Yeah. And I'm better at listening than talking, I would say. So that's why I'm like, okay, I'm just going to listen to everybody and not say anything.
So, you know, freshman year, you come in, like, you went to fish camp, and then, like, freshman year is kind of the first time everyone, like, grows up and experiences all these things. Yeah, so I guess, how was, like, the fall adjusting and meeting new people?
I absolutely loved it because I come from a very, like, my parents are very overprotective. Like, in high school, I didn't get to go out. I didn't get to do all the fun stuff. It was just, like, school, go straight home, do what I need to do, and then go to school the next day. But that's the main reason why I wanted to come to A&M, because it was also away from home, but not too far away, so I had my freedom. So I will say my freshman year, I definitely went pretty wild. going out, having fun, you know, like I had so much freedom that I was not used to. And being independent, I feel like I am a very independent person already, and like I absolutely love time to myself. Doing what I want to do on my schedule slash, you know, making the decisions for myself. Like, because I remember freshman year, I'd be like, oh, my God, I have to think about where my meal is coming from.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's not being served to me.
Like, your clothes are dirty.
Yeah, exactly.
Or getting sick for the first time.
But I absolutely love it. And, like, I've met so many people. Like, Caroline, I met her at fish camp. She's my roommate now. Somebody amazed me. That's where I met Abby.
At fish camp?
Well, Abby was roommates with Caroline, and I met Caroline from fish camp, so then we all hung out in Underwood. I actually, like, moved into that dorm second semester.
What floor were you, just wondering?
In Underwood, I was first floor, but before that, I lived in Dirty Dunn, fourth floor.
Wait, sorry to interject.
No, you're okay.
If you're looking at Underwood, like, I know they can't see on the, but if you're looking at, like, Underwood's like this, and this is the Commons, right? It's like,
if this is the Commons, and this is Underwood, I'm on this side.
You're on this side? Okay. Yes. I had a friend who lived on this side, and I always, like, ran with her. So I guess I passed by your dorm, probably.
I was thinking, when was the first time that we met? it's kind of like a blur because we meet through like mutual people.
I don't even know. You know? I know, yeah. It's like, I don't even know what year it was.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying.
It feels like so long ago.
When did I meet Victor? And then I'm like, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
You're everywhere.
I don't think I met you. I don't know if I met you freshman. I don't know.
No, not freshman year.
No.
Maybe like junior year.
Maybe, something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot what we were talking about. I interrupted
you
so
much.
I don't even know.
Sorry.
No, you're good. We talked about
college, coming freshman year.
A lot of fun, blah, blah, blah. Oh, okay. I guess I don't know what we're talking about, but I'll transition a little bit.
Yeah, we can transition. Okay.
But like school wise, first of all, what are you majoring in? Or what are you about to graduate with?
I with my bachelor's of business in management.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I was studying. I was like marketing before in sales.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of went into business kind of not knowing what I wanted to do when I was applying for colleges, and I was like, business is very generic. I can get a job with that. I actually really enjoyed it, being in all of those classes. I will be working, in Houston for Sewell Automotive Company.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I am not really, particular in what I'm going to do in life as a occupation or job.
Yeah.
I feel like I can enjoy pretty much a lot of things as long as I have some sort of meaning behind it.
Yeah.
So starting off with my first job, I was kind of just like so happy I landed a job
you
know, right after college. So I'm going to take this opportunity and really just see how I am in the workplace, you know, kind of just adjust. I'm very adaptable and flexible.
Yeah.
But will I be there for long?
Who knows,
I don't know. Who knows? I can't say that until I'm actually in the environment and working.
Yeah.
But it'll be a great learning lesson, and I take things like on the go, you know, like I go with the flow, whatever happens, happens.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's what I'm doing.
So you started like your business, and then you said you went to like marketing, and then
yeah, I was marketing sales. So I feel like sometimes I did really well in that class.
Mm-hmm.
It's also a lot of like pressure, and it gets me very like anxious sometimes because I have to have a sales pitch, and it gets it, like talking to other people and like trying to sell something.
Mm-hmm.
Like I feel like it could be really good sometimes, but if it's like a commission based thing,
yeah,
I couldn't always push it on people because I'm like, okay, if you really don't want to,
I don't want to force it.
I don't want to force anything. So I was like, okay, maybe I'll switch into management.
Mm-hmm.
But then this job, I will have to do some sales.
Yeah.
So you know, I'll get the balance of both, and we'll see how it goes.
That's good.
Yeah.
What made you want to switch? Like to management.
I think it was just people, my love for people. I was just like, what can I do? Like, how could like fish camp or like me being for people and like counseling and mentoring people, how can I do that in a business setting? You know, so I was like, okay, I feel like if I were in management, I can kind of handle more people, you know, kind of understand. I'm a very empathetic person, so it's very easy for me to understand other people. And like if I were to understand my team's needs or things like that and how well people can work together, I feel like I could provide more in that management setting rather than just me trying to sell something.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. And I think that's really important and something that, I mean, at least like as an engineering major, like college never really taught us that.
Yeah.
They kind of expect you, like they'll put us on teams throughout the semester
and
they'll tell us to like accomplish this end goal, but they never tell us how to make our team effective to where we're all on the same page.
And how to implement it. Yeah,
exactly. And everyone like is different. You need to approach everybody like differently too.
Exactly.
So I don't know, I think that's really cool. And you'll be close. You'll be
It's a new journey. I'm scared, but I'm also excited.
Mm-hmm.
Nervous but excited. And I don't know. We'll see.
That's
see
awesome.
How it goes.
I'm jumping around, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
But we're gonna go to sophomore year now.
Sophomore year,
yeah.
Okay.
So you talk about freshman year, like, you are going crazy.
Yeah.
Reasonably crazy. I also, you know, here's the thing. I also grew up in a, like, household where I'd go to school, do my extracurriculars or whatever, come back, and that's
exactly.
it.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I had never been to a party until college.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
And I remember thinking to myself, because I was on the baseball team.
Okay.
And everyone on the baseball team, or at least there was a group of people, they were always so close.
Mm-hmm.
And in my head, I kept thinking, how are they so close? We only see each other at school and practice.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they're hanging out on the weekends.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't really care as I was not invited. Like, I wasn't really tight with them. But I guess that's why freshman year, I wanted to just experience it all. But sophomore year, you kind of mellow out just a little bit.
I would say so, yeah.
And so, and then you start, like, going from trying to meet as many people as possible to, like, slowly.
Where's my place? Right? You know, yeah. So sophomore year, I lived in the house at DG. Mm-hmm. So that was really fun. That's where I've gotten to meet, like, one of my closest friends, Elise. And I definitely mellowed out because I was like, all right, I need to get on my school, you know. And I would say second semester of my sophomore year was probably the lowest and worst that I've ever done in college. And that was very, very stressful for me. You know, like finals rolling around and I'm really stressed. Like I couldn't wake up for my 8 a.m. exam because I was studying till like 5 a.m. And I was like, yeah, I'll take a quick nap. And then I'm like running to class and like 13 minutes left on this exam.
Yeah.
So I like had a Q drop and I got like a D and like, you know, my GPA really, really sunk down, and that was where I was like, okay. And I was also working two jobs that semester as well. And I think I've always worked since high school. Mm-hmm. So like it was very hard for me to be like, oh, I can't, like me not working right now, like how can I not juggle all of these things at the same time, because I've always been able to do it.
Yeah.
But I really, at that moment, I really needed to focus on myself and my, you know, mental health, myself and my academics. So I had to like quit all of my jobs and, you know, kind of make way financially. What can I do while still, you know, being here for school? Like, this is the reason why I'm here, you know? So that was definitely like a huge learning lesson for me about juggling all of these different things, because I will always say yes to things. I will always want to do more. Yeah. I'll always go above and beyond, especially like in the workplace. I have a really good work ethic, and I can always put school on the back burner. I'm like, I can do it later.
Yeah.
And then it really caught up to me, so I've definitely learned how to kind of like take care of myself, mm-hmm. you know, that semester, because it did really mellow out. And then that's where all of my friends are like, oh, do you want to go out? And I'm like, no, like, I'm getting tired. I'm a grandma, you know, like junior for sure. I was like grandma mode, like didn't want to go out, didn't want to do anything.
Yeah.
And now senior year, I'm like, oh, wait, I'm about to graduate. So I need to get going, you exactly. know. So that was my sophomore year.
Yeah. No, I like had something similar my sophomore year too. Like it was so bad that I had to drop pulls 207.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like, I had to drop plenty of classes, don't worry.
You know, and there was like one specific class too. Like I dropped pulls, and this was my first semester sophomore year.
Yeah.
I dropped pulls, and then I had this engineering class where it was like two tests in the final, and first test like 60, second test like 55. Yeah. And I was like, okay, this final, though, it's like 45% of my grade. Uh-huh. Like, I'm going to kill it. Uh-huh. Got a 55.
Yeah.
Luckily, the teacher, the prof curved it to a C.
Okay.
So I was, like, failing. I definitely didn't deserve it. But I think that was also my first semester where, like, I don't know, freshman year was really, I was taking some classes I'd taken in high school.
Yeah, you
know?
It was, like, easy. It was, like, you're just not getting to college. Just
exactly.
Yeah.
And then sophomore year, like, you have to prioritize all these things. I definitely put school
on
the back burner. So I think it was also a huge learning moment for me, too, was realizing that it's okay to be involved and, like, you need to have a life outside of school, but you're here for school.
Oh, yeah.
And you're here to get a degree and get a job, and that's the most important thing.
That is true, but I also think, like, when I was I was, during the moment of my second semester, I was, like, FaceTiming my sisters, and I was, like, crying, and I was super stressed, and I was like, what, like, I'm failing, I'm doing this and that, and what they told me, they were like, well, it's okay, like, you, if you don't graduate in 4 years, that's totally okay. Mm-hmm. You're in college. You wanted to make the most out of your memories, but you are there for a reason. But also, you don't have to like push yourself to an extent where all you're going to remember from college is just
the
school.
Yeah,
and stress, you know? Yeah. So I'm like, okay, cool. You know, I can kind of do my own thing and balance that. So it kind of goes, it's a nice balance. I'm huge on like balance and, you know, trying to do everything that you want to do, but also being in a right state of mind for it.
Definitely. Yeah. That's definitely something that I learned too whenever I dropped one of my classes, and that pushed me back an entire semester. Because I was so used all my life to either being on track or even being slightly ahead.
Yeah.
And this is the first time in my life where I was behind and everyone was taking these classes and I wouldn't be in that class until next semester.
Yeah.
So I felt left out and I kept stressing out. Should I rush to finish? Should I take summer classes? Mm-hmm. And I definitely could. I could graduate like on time, but my parents were just like, it's not a rush. Okay. Like as long as you get it, like you have more time to enjoy college
too.
Yeah.
You know. true.
I know, we're young.
I know. I say that, then I'm like, oh, I feel old.
And then we get to junior year, and this is when you probably feel a lot older because you hit that 21.
Oh, yeah.
21 age.
Yes, yes, yes. But, I mean, junior year, I mean, it's like all kind of like a blur. I'm like, oh my God, they all kind of mesh together.
Yeah.
But junior year, finally getting to live like on Cooner on my own, not sharing a room was really, really nice. But then also COVID.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so that was a big part of it too.
Mm-hmm.
But junior year, it was super fun. Like, and a lot of my friends, I would say, my older friends either graduated, mm-hmm. and then I had a few friends, like, of course, my age, and a lot of friends younger than me, you mm-hmm. know? So I definitely was feeling old and, like, trying to enjoy everything, but then our semester kind of got cut short.
Yeah.
But honestly, I would say, like, the summer of, like, COVID was probably, like, a really, really nice summer to, like, kind of have a break from everything, you know? So I'm, like, really, really grateful for that, like, getting to spend time with the closest people that I have now today, you know, and just being able to have the opportunity was really, really cool.
Yeah. So. I think we got lucky, I guess, with the timing of COVID that we had like 2 years of college under our belt already.
Yeah, yeah.
Like we had already had made friends.
Definitely.
And if we were like freshmen, I mean, we'd be kicked off campus first of all and have to like forced to live at home for so long.
Yeah, exactly.
I think we got pretty lucky with that. That was honestly a nice summer to just like, I had an internship get canceled, which I was pretty sad, mm-hmm. but then I was also, like, I don't, like, it'll be nice to have a break, too,
mm-hmm.
and I'll be working next summer anyways, like, might as well just take a break
exactly.
and have just a normal summer of doing just fun stuff.
Uh-huh, and also, like, when everything was, like, shutting down, my mom really wanted me to go home,
mm-hmm.
and I was, like, no, I do not want to go home. If I go home, I'm going to go back to being able to do absolutely nothing,
yeah.
just staying in my room,
mm-hmm.
and I was, like, trying to explain to her. And, like, very traditional Asian mom. She's like, why are you not coming home? You don't love me. I can protect you and save you. Like, you know, when everybody's, like, going ham on, like, the food and toilet paper. You know, she's like, how are you going to survive? I'm like, Mom, I'm okay.
Yeah.
But my sister had to convince her, like, no, she's okay. Mm-hmm. Like, she needs it for her own time and her own space and her own mind. And I'm like, I am not ready to go back home for that, you know? So I was very thankful that I got to stay in College Station mm-hmm. during that time period to be on my own and do my own thing.
Right.
Yeah.
You're the youngest, right?
Yes.
Out of, like, what, four?
Five. I'm the youngest of five. Mm-hmm. Then I also have, like, a younger stepbrother.
Mm-hmm.
So really, really big family. They are everything to me.
Yeah.
But I'm also, like, the baby, you know?
So
it's also
very hard. Protective of you.
Yes, always. And they're always like, you're so naive. You can't do this and that. And I'm like, you were doing this at my age. So don't even come at me,
right.
you know? But, you know, it's just, like, the way, you know, the way that it is. And I will be living at home once I move back, which I'm, like, not excited for. But also, it's also, like, a financial, you know.
It's, like, financially
reason,
smart,
you know? You know, I was like, okay, I'm just going to do what I need to do.
Mm-hmm.
But me being the baby of the family has its ups and downs for sure,
mm-hmm.
like anything. But, yeah, I'll be the last baby to graduate, and I'm ready, though. I'm ready to be a girl boss.
Yeah.
Like, really fuck some shit up.
I know. You're going to do awesome.
Yeah.
What was I going to ask? So, you talked about just, like, I guess the Asian parenting thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, for me, growing up, especially in high school and even a little bit now, too, emphasis was just grades, obviously. Grades before extracurriculars, like you can't do, you can't hang out with people unless you have the grades.
Yes.
And if you don't, you have to stay in and put in extra work.
Exactly.
And I was just wondering if that was like the same for you.
Okay, so when you were saying that, it was like you can't do anything until you have your grades. I would have my grades, but still couldn't do anything.
Really?
Yes.
Oh.
And sometimes I would have to lie about, like, Mom, I'm going to be doing after school program, or I'm going to be doing, or I'm going to be going to this or that.
Uh-huh.
And I would really just want to go to the park with my friends. And
right.
I'm like, bro, what?
Yeah.
So I really, really lacked on, like, I've never had a sleepover. I've never had a birthday party. I've never had.
You've never. Oh, wait. I mean, yeah, you have. Like,
I did
in college.
College.
Yeah, yeah.
I did
but
in
not
college
in high school.
Because I'm like,
yeah.
I've never had a birthday party for me. So
yeah.
I'm like, okay. So definitely didn't get to do much. I had to really kind of be sneaky and lie. And I also feel like that's worse.
Yeah.
You know, like, whenever I'm a mother, which I can't wait, I definitely want to instill, like, yes, you need to be careful and things like that, but I also want to trust my kids, you know? Like,
yeah.
I feel like my mom still, to this day, does not 100%, like, trust me fully because she thinks that, like, I'm sneaking around or, like, I'm 22 years old. And I'll tell her, like, yeah, I went to go get some drinks. And she's like, don't drink. And I'm like, Mom, I'm fine. Yeah. I think I'm grown.
Yeah.
But, yes, very instilled in grades. I still remember the day I was in first grade and got a D on a paper. Oh. And my mom literally almost disowned me. Like, and from then, I did really, really well.
Yeah.
But also, I'm just, like, not a very, like, academically inclined person. Like, I'll be on Zoom, and I'm like, wow, these are some stellar students. That couldn't be me, but... Uh-huh. And people always assume that, like, oh, you're Asian, so, like, you know, you're smart. I'm like, I'm not that smart. Yeah. I just put in the work. Uh-huh. But, yes, always definitely school before anything else.
Mm-hmm.
I was in wrestling in high school, so that was my extracurricular. And even from then, my mom was very, like, about it. So
I was thinking about, like, high school sports, too, and that's just not something that... Like, if you see an Asian person in a sport in high school, it's probably tennis.
Tennis, for sure. Tennis or orchestra.
Oh, yeah, they're
not even a sport.
Yeah,
but
I know.
Yeah. Or band, but yeah. Basically.
But wrestling.
Yes. I kind of got tricked into that, honestly. I was in Spanish class, and one of the, like, team captains, she's also, like, really, really small, and she's like, oh, you should, like, join a team. We need, like, lighter girls. And I'm like, no way. I would die. I would not do well at all. She's like, just come watch us practice. And then I went to practice and watch. And then the coach came up to me and was like, do you have workout clothes? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, okay, are you going to join our wrestling period, like the period for the class? And I was like, oh, I was just here to practice. And he's like, go tomorrow, bring your clothes, and we're going to practice. And I'm like, okay. So I watched it, and I remember they were doing, like, live. So, like, they were actually wrestling each other, like, in a real match, and they were playing, like, EDM, and then they were going ham, and I was like, oh my god, this looks really freaking cool.
Yeah.
And then I practiced, and I absolutely love it, and I did pretty well, and it was something that I could really, you know, invest myself to. It was definitely a mental game. Cutting sucks, but, I've learned a lot, during those years, and I decided I didn't want to in college, obviously, because cutting is a lot, and, like, I was coming to school on, like, scholarship, so it's like, if I got a wrestling scholarship, if I got injured, that would kind of suck, you know, and I'm not trying to do that.
Right.
But it was definitely a huge part of my life, where I definitely loved and learned a lot from.
I'm surprised your, like, mom didn't take you out.
My mom, she never watched a match because she was too scared that I was going to get hurt.
Yeah.
Too scared I was going to get hurt, and then, but my sister was always there. She was, like, screaming on top of her lungs. And I just love it. She was the one. She was like, why don't you do cheerleading instead? I'm like, you want to pay for that?
Yeah.
I'm not doing that.
Uh-uh.
But there was one time I had, like, a high school boyfriend, right? And he was on the team. And
on the guy wrestling team?
Mm-hmm. And my mom was, like, picking me up from school. And she kind of, like, saw. I think she was suspicious. And she saw me and him, like, cuddling. And
where? On school property?
At school, it was, like, near the gym hallway. And it was, like, after school, after practice. Oh, okay. We were just hanging out.
Yeah.
And she saw, and I
don't know. She must
almost
have chewed you out.
My brick. She was yelling at me. She was like, I don't even know if I can say that, but she's like, I'm going to go to get a broom and kick his ass and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you were off this team. You were done with your phone. Uh-huh. You don't get to do anything.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
I was bawling. And I was like, Mom, it's fine. But yeah, so if that just gets a glimpse of what my childhood mother is like,
I know, I kind of relate to that, but, like, again, school.
Mm-hmm.
I remember, like, my dad would have me do these fast fact multiplication, and it'd have, like, 100 problems.
Yeah.
Do it as quick as you can. If I got something wrong, I'd have to explain, like, what my thought process was, like, why I got it wrong, and if then I got it wrong again, he always had this, like, wooden pencil or something, and just right on the knuckles.
Oh, yeah. I'm actually, like, a very obedient child, I would say. I don't like it when people yell at me. No. I'm very emotional.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, even when I get in trouble or I get in trouble by a teacher, I'll start crying. You know, like, I'm like, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to. But I'm a pretty good child, I would say, for the most part. It's just, like, I didn't have any freedom, so some things I had to, like, work around, you know?
Even now with my sister, my parents are pretty protective of her. And, like, I'm old enough to know that it's, like, it's because I'm a guy and she's a girl.
Yes,
and that's why they don't mind if I stay out to like midnight.
Yep.
But that she's not allowed to go running at like 9, 7, 8 p.m.
Yes,
you know?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, exactly.
And she knows it too, and that's just. But here's the thing too. She's been in New York for like the past 4 years, and I think my parents have trouble realizing that, like, yeah, you know, she might have some. I have kid tendencies. Like, she might still have some kid tendencies too. But she's lived in the freaking city.
She
with
knows
like that's like real life right there. Yep. She's doing college with actual adults. Mm-hmm. Like, she's seeing all these. Like, she knows what's right and what's wrong for the most part. You know.
Yes.
So. It's just it's just hard. I guess parents always see us as our babies, which is not an issue.
And not at all. And I'm sure I'll be like that too.
Yeah.
You know.
I was thinking about this when you talked about like you wanting to be a mom. Like, like I cannot wait to be a dad as well. But I think one of my biggest flaws would be wanting to prevent my kids from feeling like any sort of pain. Like, I
want
to always.
You don't want them to feel pain.
Yeah, I want them to feel like. I want to catch them before they fall every time because I know, like, once it fall, like, once you fall, it sucks. But, like, what I'm going to have to get over is knowing that sometimes I'll have to let them fall.
Yes.
And know that I could prevent it, but I can't because that's how they learn.
Exactly.
That's the hard
thing.
You'll
have to instill that early on.
It's going to be hard for me to.
For them to learn themselves and get back up. You know? And it's okay.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, definitely.
I wanted to ask you about EDM.
Oh, okay.
You're the one that got me into EDM.
Yeah, you're right.
And honestly, like, after this, I'm going to play you this song that I've been listening to.
Okay, okay.
And I remember, like, my first few songs that I listened were really, like, I don't even know how to, like, describe
it. Got you into it? Like, leewayed you into
EDM? Yeah, yeah. And some of the songs that I remember, especially whenever, I don't even know what I'm about to say. But I just remember, like, some of my early songs of EDM were just, like, super... They sounded like regular pop songs. And then, like, the stuff I listen to now is, like
you wouldn't hear on the radio.
No,
yeah.
Yeah,
you gotta, yeah you
and
got
it's something
it,
that if I listened to in the beginning, like, I would hate. But I was curious, how did you get into EDM?
So, I was about in middle school, and my sister actually really liked EDM at the time. And that was, like, the first time me hearing it. She was playing, like, a Steve Aoki song. It's called Turbulence. And she was just going ham. And I'm like, ooh, this kind of hits. You know? This kind of hits, yeah. And from there, I had a SoundCloud. And I would, like, always, like, download different types of music. I would watch YouTube. Like, literally from, like, middle school, high school, all of high school, and still now, I remember, like, being able to go to sleep with EDM.
Wow.
Like some hardcore shit, I would still go to sleep to it, wake up. That was the best thing to wake up to. I was like, yeah, I'm going to wake up. But that was my journey. It was definitely more hardcore at the beginning, and it was all just house music, a lot of that. And I kind of just transitioned now and getting older to, like, more chill, trance type of music, but, like, I like all types of EDM, you know, like, there's a lot of different kinds that people don't really are aware of, like, which is which.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, I really went through, like, a huge phase of just, and I was in wrestling in high school, so, like, that would, like, get me pumped up for sure before matches and get me running and whatnot. And also, I went to Ultra, in high
Miami.
School for, yes, in, when I was 18, because it used to be, like, an all-ages thing, and then the year that I saved up all my money to go, they changed it to 18 and up. And I was like, okay, I'll have to wait until I'm 18. But it was amazing. I absolutely loved it. And experiencing it in person is 1,000 times better than what you can even experience, like, alone.
Yeah.
Like, or watching on YouTube, you know, watching Tomorrowland videos.
Yeah.
You're watching all of this. You're like, oh, my God, that's amazing. But experiencing any kind of, like, live music with the people around you really sealed the deal for me, I would say, and I still continue to love it and want to go to more raves and want to go to more festivals, for sure.
I can't believe you went to sleep listening to EDM.
No, I used to. I couldn't believe that either. I'm like, how can I do this right now?
Yeah.
But I sure did.
No, I don't know. For the longest time, my music taste has always been, like, pop and rap, hip-hop, whatever. And then I don't know what about EDM has been so attractive to me, but it's just, yeah, it just speaks to the soul. What I love, too, is they don't even have to have like word, like words.
And a lot of people say, like, how can you listen to it? It doesn't have any words. And I'm like, yeah. You don't have to have words yeah. in music. And like, you think classical music has words? And people go hard to that, you know? Like, it's not really what you're hearing, but what you're feeling mm-hmm. is what I correlate that to. And sometimes yeah. I'll get goosebumps and I'm like, oh shit, that was good.
Yeah.
But like, yes, I do listen to like a lot of different other genres, like pop for sure, indie, folk, mm-hmm. rap. Like I would say recently now I am less on like the mainstream and kind of just find whatever I like. Like I am really mm-hmm. bad at like knowing artists by names or songs yeah. by names. So like I'll just listen to a playlist like my Discover Weekly.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I like it. I'll save it. And then yeah. listen to my like songs. Mm-hmm. So that's how I find a lot of my music. But EDM is always on that, yeah. on that genre there for sure.
Do you know, like, I know there's different genres to EDM, but mm-hmm. how can you tell the difference between one and the other? Like you said, like,
so trance like house
and how?
So house would be more of like Martin Garrix, mm-hmm. Tiesto, more of like the boom, what is it called? It sounds like you're in like a box and it's like in mm-hmm. that very bass heavy, yeah. and I love bass.
Mm-hmm.
Trance is more no words. Mm-hmm. House can have words. Mm-hmm. Trance is more no words of like Armin van Buuren, more of like the techno type just yeah. beats, like mm-hmm. you know,
yeah.
or and it's more chill, I would say, but can still be upbeat.
Yeah.
I would think like house and would be more headbanging, or okay. there's also headbanging ones too. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of different kinds, and that's something like I had to figure out through research. Or there's like tropical house where it's like Kygo and you feel uh-huh. like you're on a beach.
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh. So like there's a lot of different kinds. You kind of just have to explore. And then when you hear something different, you're like, oh, what is this categorized yeah. by? You know, uh-huh. like what is this?
Yeah.
But yeah.
Do you have a favorite song?
My
favorite three.
I don't. I don't have a lot of favorites in a lot of things because mm-hmm. I can't choose.
Yeah.
I just love a lot of different things that I can't bound myself to one or three favorites, mm-hmm. but I will say I absolutely love Avicii.
Yeah.
He was like a DJ that I've grown up like listening to and wanted to see him. Then he stopped his tour. Then of course RIP.
Yeah.
And then Martin Garrix, he was really young and coming up, and I'm more like loyal to him than anything. Mm-hmm. And also just like classic Tiesto and yeah. so many other people. There's so many freaking great mm-hmm. that I can go on about, but yeah. I do not have a favorite three. Do you have a favorite three? You know? Yeah.
I don't think so.
Yeah. Let's put it on you.
I mean, so I really like Avicii too.
Yes.
I think if I like looked at my, cause a lot of the songs I find are through Discovery Weekly and I just add it onto my EDM playlist.
Yeah.
But if you're like to go through my playlist and look artist by artist, which artist I have the most songs in there,
mm-hmm.
you'd probably find like Avicii and Alan Walker.
Alan Walker's good.
So good. And I don't really know if there's. I know a lot of the songs by name. I don't know the artist.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay. Okay. Yeah. 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 yeah.
So.
And it kind of just depends on what mood you're in.
Exactly.
You know? Like if I'm trying to go freaking hard, mm-hmm. it would be a different answer if like I'm just trying to like listen with my friends yeah. and you know hang out.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
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 I guess we'll switch it back to your senior year.
Senior year, here we
so,
are.
So, senior year, the year of lasts.
I know.
How was this past year for you?
It was honestly really, really good. I really kind of planned my academic schedule to kind of be very light on me. So, I only did 12 hours first semester, 9 hours this semester,
mm-hmm.
While still, like, working and kind of just understanding, like, damn, this is the last place. And, like, this house that we're in right now, like, mm-hmm. absolutely love it. Like, I don't yeah. think this is probably the favorite place that I've lived in here
yeah.
in College Station. Very homey, amazing roommates, you know, like just being able to do my own thing. But it's also really sad because also, like, I feel like my circle of friends have definitely gotten smaller, and mm-hmm. which I think I really, really appreciate more because I'm more of like a, you know, I'm very quality time. That's like my first love mm-hmm. language, like, very, very first. And like, I love meeting new people, but right now in senior year, I feel like it's also hard with COVID. Like, I yeah. haven't been seeing people. I haven't gone to a lot of organizational meetings to meet new people.
Yeah.
So this was a time for me to focus, like, my relationships with the people closest to me now,
mm-hmm.
Especially while I'm leaving soon. And I'm like, oh, my God, I'm about to leave.
Yeah.
But, yes, I would say in this year, it was definitely a year of friendships and having fun because I wanted my last year to, you know, kind of just make all the memories that I could have made.
Yeah.
while leaving college, you know. So I'm like very, very happy but sad. It's a bittersweet type of thing. Lots of learning, lots of going out, lots of catching up with people, but also looking back on, you know, all of your years in college, and I'm like, wow, this is an amazing place, and I'm not ready to leave. But yeah, it was really good.
What's it like knowing that, I mean, this is a really depressing
thought. It's okay, tell me.
But some people you might never see again.
Okay, so yeah, and I feel like it's going to be very sad. I'm going to be in Houston. A lot of people are moving to Houston, right? But it's also, how many of those people that are actually going to be in Houston am I actually going to see? You know, and since I already have kind of like a smaller circle now, I don't really mind like moving away. I like being on my own. But like, if I'm going to make time for those people, they would make time for me as well. So it's not as, you know, like sad for me to kind of leave, especially since we didn't ever have like a last hurrah with everybody around, you know, so... it's kind of like, okay, I'm going to go my time and do my own thing now. But also just keeping the ones that are most important to me around in my life. So I'm very confident in that, and that will happen. But yeah, I will, of course, miss like the campus feeling and being together with a whole bunch of different people and different ages, different backgrounds and everything, which is going to be hard. But I mean, it's a new chapter in life now, which I'll be ready to take on, so...
Oh, you're so mature.
Thank you. Yeah, I know.
So, like, you've had friends who are, like, the grade above you, and you've gotten to see them, like, go into adulthood, and then I guess what's something that, like, you, I guess you're looking forward to in this new chapter?
You know, since it's so unexpected, I feel like mindset is always the best thing. So whenever people ask me, like, how do you feel about, you know, graduating? And your first initial thing is going to be like, oh, I'm not excited, of course. Like, I'm not ready. But I'm trying to shift my mindset to be, I'm ready and I'm excited, you know, and I am, but I need to emphasize on that more to really thrive in what I'm going to be. And I can't just live in the past, you know. I've done my time here. I've done what I could. And now this is a new part, you know, a new transition that I'm going to have to make all over again, basically. So it's kind of scary, but I mean, I'm very excited to what's to come. And, you know, I always think in the back of my head, like, in the future, there's always something better. Or, you know, like, there's always something better, but you also have to seek those things out. And if I'm just, like, moping around, like, oh, I miss college. I don't want to be like those people also that I'm, like, back in college or back... When you go back to high school and you're like, oh, my God, leave already.
For real,
I don't want to be like that either, but...
I knock both of them.
No worries. So yeah, it's like also sad just because when are you ever gonna have all your friends in one place at once? You know, like that's not gonna happen, and this is that time. But you know, like you'll make time, you'll make new friends, and also, you know, you get to see that, and we'll make actual money so we can do actual
for
things.
For real,
you
know?
Like come visit me wherever I'm gonna be at. You know, so I'm really excited about that and that journey.
I like the don't live in the past thing, because it's so easy to say that when you're entering college and leaving high school, like, you, no one wants to be that person who's always like, oh, in high school I did this. But I think, I mean, college shouldn't, like, it is an awesome 4 years, but it shouldn't be like the best. Like every single year should get better and better, you know?
And of course there are bad years, you know, but it'll get better from there.
But I feel like, I don't know, even though I'm not graduating, I'm starting to get to that point where, like, honestly, I'm looking forward to, like, not having to take classes and just work, and then I got free time after work, and then weekends I can just dedicate it to whatever I want to do.
I would definitely recommend, like, because it's very easy to just, I mean, I guess everybody's going in person this next semester. So that'll be really, really cool to experience, though. So you'll get to kind of have the balance of both.
Especially since we haven't had it in, like, a year and a half. It's going to be kind of weird.
Yeah, parking is going to be a bitch, of course. But, I mean, it'll be fun. It'll be nice.
But is there anything that, like, that worries you, I guess, about...
In the future?
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. I don't know. Like, I feel like I want to strive for success, and I want to strive for the most that I can do, right? But I also feel like I'm also scared of those things, where, like, how it's going to affect me. Like, starting work... I know I'm going to be working a lot, and I know I'm the type of person to do more than what I'm asked for, and I'm afraid of burning out, and I don't want to burn out too early. I kind of want to have that balance, you know, to kind of take care of myself early on, not just being, like, devote all of my life to work, because, you know, like, sometimes it can be good, sometimes it's going to do more harm than good. So that's one thing I'm definitely scared about, and also what life is going to take for me, so like, or where it's going to come. So I'm going to be living at home for the first year, but after that, where can I be? Because I don't want to be in Houston all my life. You know, like, I love Houston, but I want to explore, and I feel like if I stay here longer, then I won't ever leave. You know? So I feel like making that next big change is scary, you know? Like, change is never really something that people love, but that's something that I feel like I have to do in the next 5 years in order to do what I want. So that's kind of scary of deciding. I'm also very indecisive. and I like to be close to family, but I definitely want to move away. I'm thinking somewhere in the West Coast.
So actually, like, not even in Texas.
Yes. And I don't know. I feel like I just need to do something for myself. And, you know, like, I live my life like, oh, I'll be around here. I'll do things for others. And I don't think do things for myself, and, like, selfishly doing it because I want to. But I feel like I will need to do that the next 5 years for myself in order to be where I want to be, or even where I think I want to be. And because who knows, like, what's going to happen then, you know, the opportunities that I have there and who I meet and, you know. So I feel like I'm scared of that next big change, but, yeah, we're going to have to get there and plan it out and kind of see what my best options are and finally just do it, you know, so.
Yeah. I'm like all for the moving out of Texas thing, or like, I love Texas and I like, if you like forced me to stay in like Houston or like Dallas, I wouldn't mind it. But I think especially while we're young and straight out of college, like this is going
to
be one of the few times in life where
you'll get to do
you
it.
Can just go wherever you want, especially if you're not like
tied down.
Exactly.
And I don't want to be tied down here and then be here forever. I mean, like, that's fine. But I'm like, do I want to raise my family? And, you know, because like my sisters are a lot older than me. So my oldest sister is like 11 years older than me. So the things that she's thinking about are like kids, location, things like that. And of course I don't ever have to think about those things. But if I just, and she moved to Colorado, like a few years after college, and it was like a big shift because like everybody in my family stayed. But she's thought about it. She wants to live in Colorado with her family. Now she's thinking about that. But then I'm like, if I don't think about where I'm going to be at before all of that stuff happens, I'm just going to be here and it's going to happen here. So I'm like, okay, well, maybe we can consider just doing what I want to do wherever in the world right now.
And I have friends who, like, it's like weird friend, like our age getting married. And I have, and then there are people who, like, they're dating still, but it's serious. You know it's going somewhere. And so, like, the guy or girl finds a job in Houston, and then the other one is like, okay, I probably have to find a job in Houston. Or, like, if I go elsewhere, that's just something else we have to think about. And, like, I think it's, I mean, it's nice being single, honestly, but, like, it is nice because you just, like, you can think for yourself. And you get time to, like, build yourself up a little bit more as a person, which I think is really valuable. And, I don't know, like, it'd be nice to have someone, but at the same time, like,
It's different. I mean, like, in the place of somebody else's shoes that has somebody, you know, all that they do care about would be being with that person. And I'm like, that's amazing for you. But I'm going to do me right now.
I'm going to do me.
You know, while I can. You know, so great for them. Everybody has a different path and a different story to, like, live. But I'm like, hey, kudos to you and all the friends getting married and whatnot. But that's not me anytime soon, I'll tell you that.
No.
I have other things in line
for me. No, I feel that. Is there any, like, hobbies or anything that you're looking to get into after college that you haven't had time?
Okay, so I was actually thinking about this because I'm always somebody that's like, everybody's like, what's your hobbies? And I'm like, hanging out with friends. You know, like, I don't have hobbies.
Cleaning my room.
You know? No, God, no, I wish I had a hobby. My room right now, no. But I was thinking about this because if I were to move, what would I want to do? And I've gone snowboarding a couple times, and I absolutely love it. Like, I feel like I'm living. Once I learned everything and know what to do, I'm, like, on
just
top
gliding,
of the world.
Yeah.
On top of the world. So I'm thinking, okay, if I move somewhere in the next 5 years, it'd be somewhere where I can do that a lot. So maybe like Colorado, Utah, somewhere around there. Mm-hmm. That's something that I definitely want to get more involved in when I get older. Obviously, you can't do that here. But other things I've gotten I've picked up on, like, plants, of course. Like, who hasn't now these days?
Yeah.
But yeah, other than that, like, wrestling was a hobby, but I can't do that now either. So I'm like, I tried here at, like, an A&M club practice, but it just wasn't the same vibe. Like, not everybody was, like, getting it. They're just, like, messing around. I was like, this isn't what I came here for. Mm-hmm. I've gotten into yoga a lot.
Okay.
I really like that. Oh, meditation.
Yeah.
I do that. I've been doing it every day now for the past year.
So oh,
I
shoot.
I started it in near COVID, near what everything was happening. And I think this is another, like, path for me, or journey to kind of, like, be more aligned with myself and be with my own thoughts, because I'm a very reflective person already. Mm-hmm. But it definitely helps me understand myself, and I don't want to be a very reactive person. I like to think about things and, you know, always give people the benefit of the doubt and, like, be kind and, like, understanding myself. So, like, my meditation journey with myself has been...
Is that why you started then, just to, like, become more self-aware?
I was going through a lot of stress and, like, mental, you know, like, I don't know what to do, breaking down all the time. And I'm like, how... And I would stay up at night for, like, hours. Like, I couldn't sleep until, like, 4 or 5 in the morning, just laying there, like, my brain is going all over the place. But it definitely has helped me contain, or not contain, but really understand and not really have... my unraveling, spiraling thoughts go really, really crazy.
Yeah.
But so that's definitely helped me be at more peace with myself and, like, understanding others. Mm. And, like, that's something that I really pride myself on, is, like, being there for others, understanding them, and helping them in any other way. Mm-hmm. But also, I kind of lack my self-love and lack what I need more, because I'm so much of a people pleaser, or like want to do things for others to cater to them. But I think this has really grounded me in understanding what I need and giving myself more gratitude that I need, instead of just pouring out into others when I can't even pour into myself.
I was gonna ask you too, with the whole, like, people pleasing thing, because that's probably been, like, a huge identity for me.
Really?
Like, yeah, like, I just, especially in high school too, like, it got to a point where, like, it was just, like, the people-pleasing was just really bad. So, for example, let's just, like, I was in a friend, or not, I was not in a friend group, but there's, like, two different friend groups. They don't like each other, but, like, I'm in the middle of it. I'm, like, friends with both of them. One side tells me one thing, and the other side is like, oh, my gosh, what did they tell you? And I'm, like, I'm not going to tell. It's not my place. But then, they, like, tell, like, oh, like, I can't believe you would do that to us. And I'm, like, okay, like, I don't want you guys to hate me, so I'm just going to tell you. Like,
and you catch yourself in the middle.
Exactly, yeah. So I was curious, like,
how I handle that.
That too, that, and then also, like, for me, it's definitely gotten better, where, like, I can actually stand my ground now. But, like, do you feel like you've gotten better at just not having to always think about others?
Not always think about others, because that's something that I feel like is instilled in me. Like, no matter what it is, the setting, like, I feel like my energy goes into this other person, so the only time I'm really, like, at peace or at recharging is when I'm by myself.
Yeah.
I can't be in my own thoughts with somebody else in a room.
Yeah.
I have to be on my own. So, like, I feel like whenever there's people and I'm in the middle, so that's happened to me plenty of times, but I feel like I'm a very unspoken person. So, like, if somebody confides in me and tells me something, and obviously... I wouldn't tell anybody else. It's not my place. So if I'm in between two people, I would hope that I have shown myself well enough that they can trust me, and that I would not say anything bad about them, and that they would understand that, like, I would not, you know, tell them what they're wanting to hear. Because usually my friendships, it's like, oh, how can I hate this person? But I'm like, they've never done me wrong, so I'm not going to. You know, do any harm or have any bad energy with them. But if they do come to me and, you know, say whatever they want to say, I can keep that to myself. And not really cause any conflict, because I am a very, like, mediating kind of peacemaking type person. So when people tell me things, I'm like, I take it in, tell them my input, and then it goes somewhere and, like, never leaves it out anywhere else. And people understand that, like, I wouldn't choose sides, you know? Or if it is, it's like, who, whose opinions aligns with what I think, mm-hmm. then it's like, I can give you my input and I am on your side. But it's also like, if they're both my friends, then it's like, they wouldn't expect me to choose or, and I wouldn't have friends that would be jealous or that would be very, like hostile about those things. So that's why I would say
help. Yeah. Cause I think in high school, like everyone's pretty immature in high school.
Yeah, when you say high school, I'm like, oh, that's high school
stuff. Yeah, but like in college, that hasn't happened.
But also, I feel like people like that will be like, or you're going to be surrounded by that. I feel like in work, they're going to be very immature people anyways that are very gossipy, very like, you know, behind each other's back type of thing. And that's something that you can't really avoid, but you just have to know how to deal with. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's some wisdom right
there. I told you I was going to drop some wisdom
in there. Oh, man. Oh gosh, I had a question.
It's okay.
But, okay, so you're graduating
in
2 days. So let's say like you had to give a speech at graduation. You had to give a speech and it was like a 2-minute speech.
Ew, okay. I don't like public speaking, so I'm like, no way.
They're like, and now we have our special speaker of the night, Melissa Lee, to give our 2021 graduates some parting words of wisdom.
Why would you ask me this? I'm like, do I get a prompt? I'm like, oh my god.
I guess, I don't know, if you had to like...
say something to...
Or how about this? The target audience is like incoming freshmen. How about that?
Okay, target audience. Okay, yeah. Thank you for this. Incoming freshmen is the target audience. Okay, and what would I say to them?
Yeah.
You know, despite all of the, you know, hard things that we have to come across in these past few years with COVID, this does not take away from any other experience that any incoming freshman should ever have, you know? So definitely what I would say to like my DG kids or this incoming freshman is like, definitely reset yourself and really try to be in tune with what you care about most. So what you value, what is most important to you, and really try to live intentionally based on those values. And that's what's really going to make you happiest in the end. So don't be afraid to say no to certain things that you're uncomfortable with, but also don't be afraid to say yes to try something new.
Yeah.
These are the best 4 years you're going to experience, but it's also dependent on what you're willing to do and what you're willing, the actions you're going to take, you know, like you want to be able to have fun, focus on yourself for sure, but surround yourself with people that are like-minded and that are in the same direction that you are in. And you naturally kind of gravitate those people anyways. But knowing where to put your energy, is this worth going to? Don't worry about saying no, but also pouring into yourself and doing everything you absolutely can in college. Joining whatever it may be, any organization, clubs, whatever. Going out and getting out of your comfort zone, but also taking time to yourself, I feel like is important. And sometimes kind of reflect, I feel like, is really important. Yeah. Like, okay, what did I do, and am I getting value from this? Do I feel better leaving these group of people, or is it just the same thing that I'm not really getting much out of, you know? Yeah. So definitely just doing what you want, for sure, that aligns with your values and morals, will be the best bet to living a happier life, especially just in college, doing what you want to do, and you're only here for a limited time, so do as much as you can.
I know, but like, especially the whole like reflecting thing, I think that's not stressed enough, because I think if you just do an activity and then you're just done with it,
time goes by and you're gonna be like, what the hell did I do?
And it's important to like look back on it. Do you do any, like, I know you said meditating, but do you like journal or do you like keep track of anything?
I used to journal quite a bit, but my handwriting is absolutely awful and
it's not aesthetically pleasing to look at
at all. And I'm like, oh, I'm gonna have to figure something else out. So I guess in terms of like reflecting, I've always done that all of my life, so I'll always just either it comes from a good place or a bad place, like, oh my god, I just met those people, what did I say, why didn't I say this, or why I should have done this. But also even on like good terms, like, okay, how was my day today? What did I do? Or, and I get really caught up in like how productive I was, was based on my mood. So like if I was really productive, I'd be in a great mood. But if I wasn't productive, I would feel bad about it. And I feel like it's okay to not be productive sometimes and just not think about all of the things that you need to do, but just take time to yourself and just relax, because I have a hard time doing that. Like you don't have to do anything, but all day, if I didn't do anything, I would stress and beat myself down, like, oh, you didn't do anything at all, where I could have just enjoyed the whole day, like, being at peace and just hanging out, you know, doing my own thing. But I think that helps for sure, especially at night when, like, all of those, for me at that time, like, all of the thoughts of, like, what went on today, what I should have done better, what didn't I do, what did I do, but definitely just throughout the day, you know, doing that yourself can kind of unravel those thoughts, so it's not as burdening at night when you're trying to go to bed, you know. Just being conscious of your own actions and words and how you treat others. If you think about that already naturally, then that's already instilled in you. But like people that kind of act without thinking,
I don't understand,
will need to have a little bit more reflecting to do, you know. I would say
I have shitty handwriting, but I still journal.
That's really good.
But it's, like, nice to just, you know, have something to look back on. And, like, I'm never going to remember how... Like, I'm not going to remember a specific moment unless I actually, like, take the time to write it down.
Yes.
And then once I write it down, if I look back on it, I know, like, how I felt exactly. And when.
Yes, exactly. I feel like sometimes I'm like, damn, I wish I did journal, because it's like, when did all of these things start? Or when did my mood start to shift? Or when did I start getting out of this, you know, like I wish I knew that if I were to write it down, you know. So I think that's really, really great to journal, and something I should probably pick up back soon. I probably will, with like coming up when I graduate and whatnot, you know, just trying to keep myself busy but also doing things that
it's like for yourself.
Exactly.
And even if it's not journaling, something else I have done too is I have a calendar of just like the whole year. And it's not really, like, journaling, like, anything personal, but every single day I write down just a few things that made me happy.
Oh, that's cute.
It's, like, little stuff, too.
That's
like,
really good, yeah.
I remember, I forgot, someday in January, like, I was just doing a lap at Logie's, and I saw a friend I hadn't seen in a while. I just wrote it down. I wouldn't have remembered that unless I wrote it down, but, like, that's just something that sticks with me. So if you don't want to, like, have to write paragraphs or, like, just just even little bullet
and
points like that work.
That's really good, because you're practicing, like, gratitude every day and appreciating what you have in life each and every day. So if it's just three things that you're grateful for, you know, every morning, it can definitely change your mood every day, and that's what I've learned, too. So that's really good. Good job.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. All right, so I got one more thing for you.
Okay.
And it's something that I've been recently asking people to do.
Okay.
So a future, like, talk to yourself. Like, talk to future Melissa.
Oh, my God. I'm going to cry.
Don't cry. Don't cry.
Okay.
Hi, future Melissa. I have past Melissa with me right now.
Okay. Am I asking questions or am I telling my future me something? You can tell them,
ask them, whatever you want. I'll say something after you, or I can say it before you if you just want a little guide.
Okay. And how future? Like, am I old?
You decide.
Okay, you could talk to them as if
your message can apply to like literally at any part of the future. I'll give you an example.
Okay, yeah.
Hi, future Melissa.
Okay.
This is Victor. Today is May 18th, 2021. I don't know how far this is going to be in the future, but I just wanted to say you're an awesome person. You're an awesome person, and I don't even know how long I've known you, but over, I'm going to say, the past 2.5-3 years, whenever I see you, I'm just like, holy crap, she is a bad bitch. Like,
oh, shit.
And
you still are.
And I still do. Yeah, you still are. And you know, it's funny because when you were when Pastor Melissa was just telling me about, like, you know, the mom's like, oh, be careful, like, you're not being safe, or like, you don't, like, I don't think she's ever said this, but like, you don't know what's good for yourself or whatever. Like, in my head, I'm like, that's impossible, because the Melissa I see every day, like, I just feel like she knows, like, she's very self-aware of herself. She makes the right decisions. Like, I just have a lot of respect for you, honestly. And so I just want to let you know, like, you're awesome. Just if you ever feel like you're not enough as a person or something, you better call me right now because, like, I'll set you straight. You're awesome. Like, you are going to do awesome things in the future. You freaking had, like, I can't remember anybody in my life who has introduced me to a whole ass new genre that I have. I am just, like, in love with EDM right now, and it's literally because of you. I put so many of my friends on it, too. So, just passing it forward. But I just wanted to say, you're an awesome person. I'm glad we got to meet these past few years, and I know that no matter how far we are in the future, we could be an ocean apart, but I know that, like, if you ever need something, I'm always here for you, and I know you have a really kind heart, and Elise has told me some stories of you taking care of her. I know you'll do that for me, or for anyone around you, so just keep being you, because the world is a better place with you in it.
Wow. I'm going to go back on these and listen to it on bad days. I'm like, oh my God, I needed to hear that. Uh-huh. Okay, I'm getting a glimpse of what you basically said a lot of what I would want to hear. God dang.
Yeah.
But basically, things that I would tell my future self would be, okay, hey, Melissa, it's May 18th, 2021. You're about to graduate. I'm about to graduate. Yeah. You've already graduated, but... I would say I hope that you have been living your life the way that you have planned, and things will go off planned as well, but I hope that you are staying in the right mind of doing what's best for you and what your heart tells you what is right. And I am sure that you are doing that already, but also something to remind you is you are so loved, and you are doing a great job. No matter what may come, if you do good on others, the good will come back to you. And that's the main thing. And I trust that in you, that you have been living the truest and best of your abilities on to take on the world and all of the challenge that has come, you know. But I have nothing more but to believe that you have done everything that you could. And you are so loved, and you should be proud of yourself.
Solid stuff. All right. Well, I guess that brings us to the end of this. So thank you again.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I am. I'm glad I got you in before I left and before you graduated. Honestly, I thought you already did graduate.
No worries at all. But no, thank you so much for having me on. It meant a lot to me. Mm-hmm. Something definitely to look back on, and I can't wait to see where your podcast takes you. You know, like, even though, like, even if you're just doing it for fun, like, and it's a great time, yeah. Honestly. Like, I think it's really cool to do that, and you're doing great. I'm glad that you, like, wanted to do it, and you saw it, and you fucking did it. Yeah. You know, and that's something that I have a problem with, but I'm like, hey, you fucking did it. This is what you're doing right now, okay?
Yeah.
And that's really, really cool.
Thanks. Yeah, it's so easy. I mean, I know people who've started them, and it's so easy to start them, mm-hmm. but to keep it going, like, it has to really come from within.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been lucky enough, like, I mean, my podcast is kind of just what I already like doing, and it's like what you just said, hanging out with people.
Yeah.
So this just gives me an excuse to do that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, thank you again. I really appreciate it. And yeah, I'll see you guys on our next one.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.